सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सहवीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ समस्तजनकल्याणे निरतं करुणामयं नमामि चिन्मयं देवं सद्गुरुं ब्रह्मविद्वरम् सद्गुरुं ब्रह्मविद्वरम् ॐ पार्थाय प्रतिबोधितां भगवतां नारायणेन स्वयं व्यासेन ग्रथितां पुराणमुनिनां मध्ये महाभारतम् अद्वैतामृतवर्षिणीं भगवतीं अष्टादशाध्यायिनी अम्ब त्वामनुसन्दधामि भगवद्गीते भवद्वेषिणी यं ब्रह्मा वरुणेन्द्ररुद्रमरुतः स्तुन्वन्ति देव्यैस्तवैः वेदैः साङ्गपदक्रमोपनिषदैः गायन्ति यं सामगाः ध्यानावस्थिततद्गतेन मनसा पश्यन्ति यं योगिनः यस्यान्तं न विदुसुरासुरगणा देवाय तस्मै नमः देवाय तस्मै नमः ॐ श्री गणेशाय नमः ॐ श्री सरस्वत्यै नमः ॐ श्री गुरुभ्यो नमः
हरि ओम् इन् द पुरुष सूक्तम् वेन् द स्टूडेण्ट् आस्क्स् द टीचर् हौ द वर्ल्ड् केम् टु बि क्रियेटेड् So the Guru, among many verses, tells us a few very pertinent verses. Chandrama manaso jataha, chakshor surya ajayata, mukhad indras chagnischa, pranat vayura jayata. Nabhya asid antarikshanam, shishno dyav samavartata, padbhyam bhumi disha shrotrata, Tatha lokagam akalpayan. That's how these lokas, all these worlds were created. And from the Lord's mind came the moon, from his eyes came the sun, from his breath came all the winds, from his nabhi, from his belly button came space, from his head came the heavens, from his feet came the earth. So this whole universe emerged from the Lord. And that's what we have heard so far in the ninth chapter, that from me the entire universe emerges. And he says, Maya tatam idam sarvam jagadavyakta murtina matsthani sarva bhutani na chaham teshva vasthita. He says, the world emerged from me, I pervade it. At the same time, I am not involved. Whatever happens to the world, I remain immutable, I remain changed, even though my presence is required for the world to function, just as the Lord's presence is required in us for us to walk, talk, listen, hear. But the consciousness in us, the self, does not get affected by ups and downs that happen in my life. I may be born, I may get old, I may die, my mind may be happy, unhappy, I may be confused, understanding, but the consciousness remains unaffected. And how does the world come into being? The Bhagavan says, Prakriti, my creative power, manifests. At the time of creation, the whole world manifests. And Kalpa Adav Visrijyamiham. And when the Kalpa ends, when the cycle ends, the entire universe merges back into me. And then he talks about the two different kinds of people, the ones who are very materialistic, selfish, who are willing to do anything to get what they want, even practice violence, he calls them asura or rakshasa. And then the wise people, Mahatma, he says, Mam bhajati ananya manasaha. Me alone is their goal. Satatam kirtayantascha mam. They always worship me, they always praise me, and they always, their worship or praise is not only just singing, but also doing my work and always keeping me with him, with them. That is true worship. And then Bhagwan talks about ekatvena prithaktvena bahudha vishvato mukham. He says that you can see me as one, you can see me as many, or you can see me as the entire universe. And here we see that there are three kinds of bhakti that are described in our scriptures. Dvaitam, Vishishta Advaitam, and Advaitam. So Dvaitam means seeing Lord as separate from me. I and God are separate, and I worship God, I love God, I do his work, I get up and pray, but I can never be one with him. And that is fine too. In the beginning, people had this idea, or even later on, there are many saints who say, I do not want to be one with God, I want to love God, which is fine. But Vedanta teaches us that your thinking has to grow from Dvaita to Vishishta Advaita. That's the second step, where we think that I am a tiny little part and God is the whole. He is the sun, I am the spark. He is the ocean, I am a little drop. And so I am a small part of the total. And then what happens is that I see my oneness with all other drops, with my oneness with all other sparks of the sun. But the highest understanding of Advaita, of Vedanta, of the Bhagavad Gita, is Advaita. There are no two. God alone is everything. Everything is him, everything is that. You can't even say him or her, because God is beyond sex. But it is that consciousness that is all-pervading, and everything is that. And you and I are just expressions of that divinity with name and form. That the divine consciousness has no name, no form, is formless, all-pervading. You and I are just that, those expressions. So Brahman plus name and form is the universe. And also this whole chapter talks a lot about bhakti, you know, bhakti or love for God or devotion. And people have this idea that devotion is, okay, you get up in the morning, you go to the temple, you offer flowers, you do some prayers, or in your prayer room, you do some puja and aarti and all. That's wonderful. There's nothing wrong with that. So we think bhakti is a karma, is an action. Oh, I get up in the morning, pray, and that's it. I'm done for the rest of the day. But Vedanta says bhakti is not a karma, it is a bhavana. It is a thinking, it is a thought.
Don't do it as ghost.
Where what happens is that every thought of yours is directed towards God. So my love for God is permanent all the time and in all situations. Even when I'm going through unhappy situations, my love for God does not waver. And every activity I perform as a servant of God, as a devotee of God, and I see all beings as my beloved Lord. So bhakti is not just a karma, it is a bhavana, and that is a very, very important. It's not a kriya, it's not an activity, it is a way of thinking. And a true bhakta, his whole life changes. His whole life becomes an act of worship. Every action of the Lord, of that human or that devotee, is an act of worship. So that is true bhakti. And throughout the ninth chapter, we will see beautiful descriptions of devotion. And so far, this is what we have covered. And Bhagwan has talked to us about the wise people and the people who are not so wise, and how the wise people constantly remember me, and through jnana yajna, through these kind of activities where the knowledge is shared and our ignorance is burnt in the fire of knowledge. That is called jnana yajna. That is a word that Gurudev used throughout his life. And so he says that Gyan Yajna is practiced by these devotees, where they sacrifice their ignorance, going to the Guru, they study from the Guru and then make their life pure. That is what he says, that I am the Yajna. In the Yajna, everything I am, just as in the Yajna I am the fire, the bricks, the Panditji, the one who is offering, and all the oblations. So similarly in the universe, everything I am. And then last week he also said, I am the father, I am the mother, I am the grandfather. That means I am, my relationship with you is a relationship of love. And I am the purifier, and that is the only thing to be really known. Everything else is secondary. And so this is where now today he will give us some more adjectives about who God is and what is our relationship to God in the next two verses. So we'll do verse number 18, chapter 9, verse number 18. Gatir Bharta Prabhu Sakshi.
Gatir Marta Prabhu Sakshihi.
Nivasa Sharanam Suhrit.
Nivasa Sharanam Srutah.
Prabhava Pralayasthanam.
Prabhava Pralayasthanam.
Nidhanam Bijam Avyayam.
Nidhanam Bija Avyayam.
Gatir Bharta Prabhu Sakshi. Nivasa Sharanam Suhrita. Prabhava Pralayasthanam. Nidhanam Bijam Avyayam. So Bhagwan Sri Krishna has given us 12 pointers how we can meditate on God, how we can remember God, and how we can connect with God. Just as in Vishnu Sahasranama, we have 1,000 indicators. That's why Gurudev has written a very beautiful book. It's available in our bookstore, called 1,000 Ways to the Transcendental. So whoever chants Vishnu Sahasranama, if you want to know each meaning of each word, Gurudev has not only given the meaning, but a short commentary of each word. When I read that book, it was very, very enlightening, because you get the exact meaning of each word. So here Bhagwan has given us 12 words to remember him by. So I'll just give the meaning and then we'll do each word separately. Gati. Gati means the goal, but in Sanskrit, gati also means the path. So the path and the goal, that I am, Bhagwan says. Then he says, I am Bharta, I am the supporter. Prabhu means I am the Lord. Sakshi means I am the witness. Nivasa means I am the abode. Sharanam means I am the refuge, I am the security. Suhrita. Suhrita means I am the friend. Then these three words go together. Prabhava, Pralaya, Sthanam. Prabhava means birth. Pralaya means death or dissolution. And Sthana means sustenance. So I am the birth, the sustenance, and the death. All three I am. That means in me all the three things happen. Then he says Nidhanam. I am the treasure house. I am the storehouse. And I am Bijam Avyayam. I am the immutable seed. I am the seed that never perishes. So let us see, what is the meaning of Gati? Gati means the path, and Gati means the goal. So for a spiritual seeker, the goal is God. Not only for spiritual seeker, for every human being, it should be the goal is God. But the path is also God. All the scriptures, all the Mahatmas, all the teachings that take us there, that is also Him. It is from the Lord everything has emerged. That's why Jesus says, follow me, for I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. That means that when we follow these great prophets and their teachings, we reach to the truth, and that is the whole purpose of life. So that's why he says, I am Gati. Another commentary says, Gati also means the goal as far as karma phala. So when I do an action which is karma, which also is gati. When I do an action, then I reach a result, and that is the karma phala. So my action and the result are both called gati. So for example, I go to a restaurant, which we haven't done in many months. I don't know when it will happen. But say if I, assuming I go to a restaurant and there I go and sit down, so my karma is driving to the restaurant. And then what kind of food I get there, whether I get good service, whether I get sick from the food, that is the karma phala. So karma and karma phala is also called gati. So in the spiritual sense, it is God is the path and the goal. In our material sense, our actions and the results are both called gati. Varta means supporter. So the Lord says, I support everything. Just as the ocean supports all the waves, not only all the waves, but all the fish and all the beings and the little creatures and all the, you know, seaweed and everything is supported. So similarly, I am the support of this whole universe. The whole universe is in me. In our life, we can see who is the Bharta. Bharta is the parent. Because just as God feeds us, so we as parents, you know, take care of our children, we feed them. So the father, it used to be traditionally, but now the father and the mother are considered to be Bharta, as the supporter, because we feed and support and take care of our children when they are young. So Bharta is the supporter, the one who nourishes, the one who feeds, the one who takes care of us. That is the Lord. Then Prabhu. Prabhu means the master, the Lord. What it means is that everything is functioning under the control of the Lord. The Lord alone is doing everything. In Bal Vihar, they have a very beautiful song. In the younger classes, my God is so great, so strong and so mighty. There's nothing my God cannot do. I think most of the parents have heard their children sing that. So what it means is that God is all powerful, Sarva Shaktiman, and whatever is required to run the universe, He runs. Every star is maintained in place, the planets, the plants grow, the oceans, the tides, the moon, everything is maintained by Him. In our life, how do we translate? For a child, he will say, my father can do everything. You know, when he's little, he'll say, my father can do it. There's nothing my father cannot do. You know, we always say, oh, my father can beat your father. And something is broken, father will say, let me fix it. Mother will say, no, you stay away. Because if you open it, then it will take for 2 weeks, it will be lying. And then I have to call a mechanic to fix it anyway. So he thinks he's the Lord. And not only that, but as we get older, then when our children grow up, they come and say, Father, Dad, you don't know anything. You stay here. Let me take care of it. So they become the Prabhu. So that's how life is. But in God's case, He's always Prabhu. He never changes His role. There is nobody who can come and tell Him that you do not run this world. So He is the eternal Prabhu. Now the next word is Sakshi. Sakshi means witness. Witness means the Lord is the one that gives us the ability to function. The body, mind, intellect, our thinking, our understanding. But then gives us freedom to operate and watches like a witness. Does not interfere. It says, well, then how do we get our good and bad actions? Because of our karmas, good and bad things happen to us. Not because God is doing them, but our own actions produce good and bad results. So that's why in meditation they teach us that when you quieten your mind, then stay as a witness. You can watch your breath, you can watch your body. Different schools of meditation, like the Buddhists, the Vipassana, they teach them watch their body. Others say watch your breath, watch your mind, and be a witness and pay attention to that ultimate witness, the Sakshi, the Lord within. And that is one of the techniques of meditation. In our life, how does this translate? So what we think that because I am the bharta, because I am the supporter, because I have nourished my child, I have brought them into the world, I have fed them, so now I own the children. And up to a certain age, yes, you know, we need to guide them, we need to instruct them, we need to tell them. So for example, a fourth grader says, I want to do this or I don't want to do this. He doesn't know yet what is good for him. He says, I don't want to go to Bal Vihar. No, he may not know it at this time, how much it will benefit him later on. But it is our duty as parents to take our children to all the right things. Just as if he says, I don't want to go to school, we take him. So that is how we do that up to age 16 or 18. But then after that, we still want to control the child. You know, what career he takes, we want to tell him. Then whom he marries, we want to tell him, I want you to marry this one, not this one. I want you to marry Indian, not non-Indian. And then our son and daughter-in-law, we want to control them too. My daughter-in-law should be like that. My son-in-law should be like that. Why do they do that? And then we are sitting for meditation and suddenly our mind gets upset. After all I did for my son, for my daughter, this is how I get paid back. Mm-hmm. So our mind is all the time upset. So they say, then become a sakshi, become a witness. You have given them the right knowledge, you have taught them whatever you could. Then let them choose their own life. When they need help, you help them. If they need guidance, you guide them. Obviously, you do that. But do not interfere. So that is called sakshi. Sakshi means a witness, means one who has witnessed an event but is not part of it. Like somebody which is witnesses a car accident, and the police come, he says, yes, I saw this person. He made an illegal turn, left turn, and that's why the accident happened. He is not involved in the accident. He does not know any of the parties, but so that is called sakshi. So Bhagwan is the eternal sakshi where everything is witnessed by him, but the Lord does not participate in it. Then he says, Sharana, Nivasa. Nivasa means abode. Abode means where I reside, where I stay. And if I stay in God, then how can I have any fear? How can I have any tension? How can I have any stress? I am living in God. God is my abode. When God is my abode, my life should be free of tension, free of worry, free of any kind of fear, because He is there all the time to protect me. So that is called abode, nivasa, sharanam. Sharanam means security, means refuge. So Gurudev in his commentary says, just as there is a small boat which goes out into the ocean, and then the big storm comes, then what does the pilot do? Quickly tries to take the boat back into the harbor so that the storm may not drown. So similarly, you and I, when we face problems in the world, we need to turn back towards God and make Him our security, make Him our refuge, and make Him our guardian to safeguard us. So talking about safeguard, this lady was walking on the street and suddenly a voice came, watch out, watch out, look up, step back. And she looked up and there was a stone falling from the building under construction. So immediately she stepped back and it saved her life. And she was going to step off the sidewalk and the voice came, don't step off, stay. And the moment she looked, there was a car coming wildly, making a wild turn, and if she had stepped on the street, she would have been killed. So she said, oh, thank God I got saved. And then she got into the car and she was driving and was in the corner, and the voice said, slow down. And she slowed down and she had realized that if she had not slowed down, it was icy and there was a multiple car accident and she would have hit the cars. So she said, who is this that is, you know, saving me again? Who are you? You keep saving me. The voice says, I am your guardian angel. I'm here to save you for security. She says, you are? Then where were you when the day I got married? All the ladies are saying, yeah, where was he? So the point is that he is our refuge. He always saves us wherever we are. That refuge is God. Then he says, Suhrit, he's a friend. What do we mean by friend? See, we always, with all these other descriptions, you know, he's unattached, he's a sakshi, they are in me, I am not in them. So we think God is some impersonal, you know, somebody sitting somewhere far away, doesn't care what happens to us. God says, no, I am your friend. You turn to me and I'm always available. That is what the relationship between us and God should be, a relationship. As last week we also talked about love, and we see how Bhagwan Shri Krishna helped Arjuna when he needed help, Sudama. Bhagwan Shri Ram, when he met Sugriva, or when he met Vibhishan, when they approached him, you know, and they were on the right side, he supported them as a friend. So that's what he says, Bhagwan is a friend. But the difference between us and Bhagwan is that when I become a friend and then I do something for somebody, then I expect, I say, you know, I did this for you and you didn't do it back for me.
Business.
Or I went to your party and you never came to my party. Or you find a person going to all a lot of Arangetrams. So he said, why are you going to all these Arangetrams? Oh, because my daughter is going to have Arangetram next year. So I make sure I go to all so that they come to mine. So for us, friendship becomes a business where I do something and I expect back. But Lord says, I do not expect anything. Whatever I do is out of love. And I am your Suhrita. Friend means, it's not only friend, it means well-wisher, that he wishes the best for us. Whatever is happening is for our benefit. Even when I am going through hard time, we have to understand that this is meant for me to grow. And if I take refuge in the Lord, even the sorrows will get less. So he says, I don't expect anything. Prabhava pralayasthanam, we have talked many times. It's like the ocean. The ocean, the waves, are the. It is the birth of the waves, sustained in the ocean and perishes in the ocean. In our life, what we have to see is that as we are now approaching 70s and 80s and all, as we get older, we'll find that slowly our colleagues will pass away. You know, a lot of us, our parents have passed away, and then our siblings, our colleagues. So what we have to do is know that this is the nature of the world, that there is this constant change happening. But in the all that change, there is a changeless factor, which is God. So in God, everything is happening. That's why Kathopanishad says, like corn, man deteriorates and falls. So it's going to happen to any of us. So one has to be ready for that. And Nidhana means treasure house, means also means storehouse. That means when I have God, then I lack nothing, because all the world's treasures, all the world's joys are available. Even whether I have money or don't have much money, even if I don't have much health or anything, but if I have God, then I have everything, and such a man lacks nothing. That's what they say. If you have God with you, you will lack nothing. Nidhanam also means storehouse, means all my karmas are stored in that. They say, how big must be God's computer? There are 7 billion humans and all their karmas are being stored. And then some karmas you get result right away, some next day, some next year, some next lifetime. Who keeps track? Bhagwan says, I do. Nidhanam, I am the storehouse, and in me all your karmas are stored. And bijam avyayam, I am the immutable seed. Because we find that in the world, when anything is created, the origin gets changed or dies. For example, from a seed, when a plant comes out and becomes a tree, the seed perishes. You cannot find the seed. Uh-huh. Or from mud, if you make a pot, the mud does not perish, but the mud gets transformed, gets changed from the mud to pot, and then again, you know, from pot to mud. So there is constant change. But the Lord says, I am the seed that never gets transformed and never dies. So from the Lord, the whole universe comes, and no change happens in God. He remains the same. There is no change. There is no death. That is eternal. So also what they mean is that we have to understand that God is changeless. The whole world is changing. To expect things to remain the same will not happen, because the world, there will be change. But the one changeless factor is God. That's why they say change is the changeless law of nature. Understand that everything will change, but God does not. The more I stay close to God, the more I develop patience, the more I develop calmness, the more I develop peace. So these qualities are, each one of them, we can take and meditate upon it and think upon it and bring ourselves closer to God. There are 12. Obviously, each one of them can take, you know, half an hour to speak on, but I have to, within the hour, cover it. So please yourself get the books and read these qualities and try to bring them into your life. Make yourself also divine.